وتعالى. بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون. وقال تعالى فويل للمصلين الذين هم عن صلاتهم ساهون. وقال تعالى إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم تسليما. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم. The last point we discussed yesterday was regarding qa'da, sitting in the tashahud position. The last qa'da according to the fiqh regulation is fard. The first qa'da is wajib. To set to the duration in both qa'das to that of at-tahiyyat is wajib. So this is a fard posture in salah in terms of the second qa'da. But nevertheless, it is compulsory whether it is the first qa'da or the second qa'da. And we mentioned that under normal circumstances, to sit in front of a person of supremacy and of majesty and might is against etiquette. So here Allah Ta'ala has afforded us the opportunity. So you should take it as a gratitude from Allah Ta'ala's side that He has even allowed us the opportunity to sit in front of Him. But at the same time, understand this. Matlan jis waqt sahib pao apna daraz kare aur ye banda ki khidmat paabusi ki us par lazim hai ki baja lawe. Ya ye ki muntazir hukam ka hai. So it's one of two thoughts a person can have. That one is that you are sitting in order so to say if Allah requires some khidmat. Not that Allah requires khidmat. Ya Shah Ahmad Shaheer Rahmatullah Alayhi says, like for example, if Allah, obviously Allah Ta'ala is free from any bodily parts, but Allah, if He stretches His legs, then to make khidmat of Him. Meaning, really that to be ready for any service to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever Allah ta'ala's hukam is, to fulfill that order. So your sitting must be with this intention, that I am sitting ready for Allah ta'ala's instructions, and whatever instructions they are, I'm going to fulfill it. That means what first and foremost my purpose of life, to fulfill it according to the command of Allah ta'ala. Then what Allah ta'ala has stipulated as fara'id, wajibat. So this is in order to take the ahkam, the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Lekin is maqam ko bhi ibadat se khali nahi rakhna chahiye. But although you are waiting so to say for Allah ta'ala's order, you should not keep this posture free from ibadat. This also should be engaged in ibadat. Aur tohfa durood wa salam ka hai. And we have been given the gift. At this time, the ibadat of the sitting position is durood upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the tashahud. Isi tarah par. And the tashahud, at-tahiyyatu lillah, was-salawatu wa-tayyibat. If you, the Shawafi and the Ahnaf, the at-tahiyyat is primarily the same, the meaning is primarily the same, the words are slightly different. The Ahnaf have chosen the tashahud of Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala. The Shawafi have chosen of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala. But primarily the meanings, the sentiments expressed are the same. So when you are sitting there in front of Allah, you are praising Him. At-tahiyyatu lillah, that all tahiyya is greetings, all verbal praises. Was salawat comes from the word salat, all physical praises. Wat tayyibat and zakat is purifies your wealth, so all monetary praises. Hazrat says even the ulama ikram, Hazrat Mana Hakim Akhtar Sahib rahmatullah alayhi used to say that we don't know exactly which one means what. So Hazrat says, very easy to understand, tahiyya is a greeting, so all verbal. Salat is a physical action, so all physical worship. Wat tayyibat, zakat is, that zakat purifies wealth, so when we talk of tayyibat, we are talking of monetary ibadat. So what we are acknowledging, from the depth of our heart, whatever ibadat we make is solely for Allah. Whether it be physical, whether it be verbal, whether it be monetary. This is a beautiful way of expressing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the sentiments that that my existence in the salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mamati lillahi rabbil alameen la sharika lahu wa bidhalika umirtu. So this is the same sentiment, that my existence is solely for Allah. Whatever worship I make, it is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This also in a sense is a confession to Allah. And we should be aware that we are making confessions to Allah. That the motivation of my worship is your sake. And it can't be that we have some ulterior motive for our worship. When we are telling Allah that all verbal praises, all physical praises, all monetary praises and worship is solely for Allah. Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh has written this in Ma'arif al-Quran, whereas Mawlana Shafi Thanwi Rahmatullah Alayh has mentioned this also. Some ulama have made kalam regarding his authenticity, but nevertheless, that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned these words to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala on the occasion of Mi'raj. That now, can you imagine that moment where even the angel did not have permission to step any further, and if he would have, Hazrat Jibreel as-salam, despite his proximity to Allah, was not afforded the opportunity to go any closer. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was afforded the position. So, this was the time when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned three praises to Allah. Telling Allah ta'ala that all physical, all verbal, all physical, all monetary praises are solely for you. Then, so he mentioned three things. So, Hazrat Hakim Sahib explains that Allah Ta'ala mentioned three things in return to Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. As-salamu alayka ayyuha nabiyyu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. When you have praised me in this way, I am in return responding to your praises by saying that peace be upon you, O Nabi, and his mercies and his barakat. And many times we translate these words very loosely, but we do not understand the total impact. For example, we say, may Allah's mercy be upon you. And we make dua, even assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Mujaddid al-Millat Mawlana Ashraf Thani rahmatullah alayhi has explained what does rahmat of Allah means. Your entire life depends on this. That means from beginning, that means rizq halal, afiyat in your life, awlad salih, and madafil khalq, like what is the explanation that Allama Alusi Baghdadi rahmatullah alayhi has given, atina fi dunya hasana, is similar to the explanation of rahmah. When you are telling that may Allah's mercy be upon you, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. In fact, you are making dua for the person's everyday preservation, motivation in future, for his existence, for his end, for his akhirat in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is such an encompassing dua, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It includes halal rozi, barakat in rozi, afiyat of life, of khatima bil iman, and khair in akhirat also. So this is very, very deep, this mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As-salamu alayka ayyuha nabiyyu, that salam be upon you, O Nabi, wa rahmatullahi, and the mercies of Allah, wa barakatuhu, and his barakat. Then the malaika hearing this, and this beautiful and very, very spiritual gathering, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they in unison then mention, As-salamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi s-salihin. That salam be upon us, then some ulama have written that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, because Allah, he praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala mentioned return, As-salamu alayka ayyuha nabiyyu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And this we can understand the shafqat that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had for this ummah, that he did not forget the ummah at that time also, at his great proximity to Allah, where he is in total seclusion with Allah, so to say. And be given the opportunity that no other creation of Allah had ever been given that opportunity of being so closely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then also he did not forget us, because Allah said, salam be upon you and his mercies and his barakat. Immediately Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, assalamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi s-salihin. That salam be upon us, that means all of us and the pious servants. So the whole trick is to get into the list of the pious servants. And what is the beauty of that? That inshallah 24 hours, somewhere salat is being performed. Like for example, now we are approaching Dhuhr time. Probably in the eastern countries, it must be probably Isha time already. And now it might be Fajr time in the westerly countries, for example America, etc. So there isn't a moment where Adhan is not called out. There isn't a moment where there isn't Salat time. There isn't a moment that a person is not involved in reading At-Tahiyyat. So by becoming in the list of the Salihin, you get 24 hours du'as of people. And one easy way of getting in the list of the Salihin, Hazrat mentions, is to read Tahajjud Salat. And one is obviously the biryani, that is the last third of the night. That is the main cause. But if a person is in a hope and probably has this doubt whether he will get up, then at least suffice on dal roti, so you don't stay hungry. Then at least if you don't think you can wake up at the last portion, then read it after Isha. But the time of Tahajjud starts immediately after Isha Salat. And as it says, as Hakim Sahib mentioned this, Mawlana Abdul Hamid Sahib also mentioned this a number of times, that even if you are lazy as a dead sea, and you've got no movement in you, then read the Tahajjud Salat sitting after Isha Salat. At least that you are in the list. As Hakim Sahib explains, maybe you might not be on the first page of the Salihin, but at least on the last pages, on the footnotes, by the footnotes or in the Hashia, your name will be written. So as long as you get into the book whichever way, and you'll get 24 hours du'as of the people. Wa ala ibadillahi salih. One easy way of getting in the list of the pious. And then Hazrat also mentioned, to be in the list of the pious, to just look after a few things. From your outward, one is the shari beard and the trousers above the ankles, and not to have evil thoughts about people, and looking after your eyes. Inshallah, if a person can bring these four things, he will become the wali of the time. Simple four things. Keep a shari beard, also the shari beard, one first length, and trim it only after the first length. And as Hakim Sahib explained, first length, your first length, not your child's first length, or the 1-year-old first length. So sometimes maybe, some of our beards are short, probably using the wrong first. So your own first, and then only snip it. But it should be in every direction, not only in one direction, in all three directions. Obviously the hair doesn't grow in that direction, but it grows down. But when you're snipping it off, then cut it off here. After one first, here also. And then also the hair, as far as the bottom is concerned, Hazrat Hakim Sahib explains, those soldiers that are moving with the army, you keep them with the army. You don't shoot them in the back. They are not traitors. Those that are growing against the gradient of the normal beard, that means those soldiers that are running away from the battlefield, that you can remove. But they are traitors, so that can be removed, not a problem. Here also, the one other great negligence is in front of the beard. And many people keep in beard are not aware of the masla. That it's called dari, because it's supposed to be in a dar, the lower jaw. It's supposed to cover the entire lower jaw. That means your beard is supposed to grow. If you open your mouth, the entire part should be covered. Right till here, or the beard. Many times we to look smart, we cut it off. But the entire dar should be. As Hakim Sahib explains, that he has the top part that you can leave for the wife, at least some place for her. So that above you can remove. But be very, very careful from here, right till the corners of the lip, the beard should be. So there is negligence, we trim too much of it. And Mujahideen Millat Malasha Mithanwi Rahmatullah Alayhi has written that if a person snips even to the extent of a hair size, which is not supposed to be snip, he will be in the same sin as not keeping a beard also. So we should be very, very careful regarding this. And inshallah we will see, dunya it might be, people might say things and utter things, etc. But in akhirat we will see the value of the shari beard of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So inshallah one intention we all can make, that we are going to keep this shari beard of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that is one list, as Hakim Sahib said, to be in the list of the Salihin. Wala ibadillahi Salihin. And then the Malaika said, Ashadu Allah ilaha illallah. When they see in this union of Allah and His Rasul, I testify that there is no deity except of Allah, and I testify that Muhammad is His servant and messenger. This is a very powerful statement we are making. Our wujud exists on this. We lightly utter this in At-Tahiyyat, but we do not understand the seriousness and the depth of what we are uttering. Our existence is because of this. Our najat will be because of this. On the day of Qiyamah, our najat will be because of this. In the qabr, our ease will be because of this. This ashadu la ilaha illallah wa ashadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. So when you even coming to it, don't just lip service as a ritual completed. What the depth of your heart express this. This is tawheed. This is the value of you, so to say. Ashadu la ilaha illallah. That I unreservedly express and I bear testimony that there is no deity except of Allah. Mujahideen Millat Malasha Mithanwi Rahmatullah Alayhi has written a beautiful point. He says many people become pareshan and in the state of panic that many of the close relatives might pass away without reading the kalima. For example, maybe your father passed away and he was very, very pabar or shariat, etc. out, and people regarded him as very, very pious, and maybe you were there last few moments with him before he passed away, and surprising that despite him reading all his life, at the time of death he did not read the kalima, etc. So Hazrat says there is no need to become fikrmand about this. And many times people don't utter it to somebody, they feel shy to say that, you know, but my father didn't read the kalima, my grandfather didn't read the kalima, etc. Hazrat mentions, there is no need to be parishan about it. As long as he read it in salat, and from salat time, till that, the time of death, he has not done anything to contravene the requirements of the shahadat, he has died on shahadat. So imagine, so even when you read it with this sentiment at night, that this utterance is for my najat of akhirat, this is my, to make my mamla, my dealings with Allah totally clear. That I testify to His unity, to His oneness. And I testify to the risalat of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if a person dies away in his sleep, no problem. Because he read Isha Salat. Therefore after Isha Salat, go to sleep. Because you, now you have made your shahadat clear. After that, don't engage in any activity that will contravene the requirements of the shahadat. You sleep, you die in your sleep, you have died on shahadat because that was your utterance. So to renew this, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. Then Hazrat gives a translation of it, yani sab bandagiya zuban ki Allah ko, all verbal worship is for Allah, or sab bandagiya badan ki, and all physical worship is for Allah, or sab bandagiya maal paak ki, and all monetary worship is solely for Allah. Salam tum par ay Nabi, salam be upon you, O Nabi, or mohar Allah ki, or khubiya and the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salam hum par, or jitne bande Allah ke, salam be upon us and all the righteous servants of Allah, Allah ke acche, sab, or sab par, is baat ki, ki kisi bandagi ke, then you testifying, that me gawa deta hu is baat par, ke kisi ki bandagi nahi siwa Allah ke, I testify that there is nobody worthy of worship besides Allah, or gawahi hu, uska ke Muhammad banda uska hai, and I testify that Muhammad is his messenger, and his messenger and his servant. Parna attahiyat ka kaada pehla aur dusre mein wajib hai. The recitation of attahiyat in the first sitting and the last sitting is wajib, aur baithna kaada pichle mein baqadr farna attahiyat ke farz hai, and to sit in the last sitting and to sit to the extent of attahiyat is also farz. The sitting is worth, but also included in that, to the extent of attahiyat. The recitation of attahiyat in itself is wajib. Aur mazmoon qaada akhir ka is tarah samjhe, and understand the reasoning, the subject of this qaada akhira. Ke ye waqt darbar ke rukhsat ka hai. This is a time now we are leaving the noble countenance and the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so to say the palace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We were afforded that opportunity of speaking to Allah. Now we are leaving. So therefore, assalamu alayka karke bahir aana chahiye. But we have to utter the words assalamu alayka before we leave. And assalamu alayka is darbar ke assalamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi saliheen hai. And the leaving of this presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His kingdom is by reading assalamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salihin. And then afterwards he mentions about the tashahud, ashadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. After that, it is the recitation of durood upon Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And but at the same time, when pondering about this tashahud, ashadu an la ilaha illallah, remember the subject matter has been recurring from the start. Even before salat, when you start with inni wajjahtu wajhiya lilladhi, the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we say Allahu Akbar, tawheed of Allah. Then we say Thana, tawheed of Allah. In Surah Fatiha, Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in, tawheed of Allah. If you read in Surah Fatiha, tawheed of Allah. In Ruku, tawheed of Allah. In Qawma, tawheed of Allah. In Sajda, tawheed of Allah. In Qa'da, in Jalsa, the two positions between, even there the dua, Allahumma filli warhamni wajburni wasturni wa'afini warzukni. Many different riwayat have come, but the words are that we should, even in that position, if a person don't know the entire dua, ulama have written, even read three times Allahumma filli, Allahumma filli, Allahumma filli in the qadab, in the jalsa position. Then even in sajda, the sentiment is of tawheed. Even in the sitting, the last, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. That means is the entire salat, the one subject matter that continues is the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. then the durood upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this durood, Allahumma, the durood in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught this ummat, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad, kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim, innaka hamidun majid. And this is a powerful durood upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because he has taught it himself. And durood is such an activity that Allah Ta'ala, we wouldn't say that Allah makes ibadat, but you make ibadat of that bandagi, that zat that is far superior. And there is nothing that is superior than Allah. But Allah, out of His kindness, continues sending durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You don't hear that Allah performing salat, etc. But as far as durood, Allah Ta'ala engages in durood Himself. And one poet has beautifully said, يُسَلِّي عَلَيْهِ Allah Jalla Jalaluhu bihada bada lil alamin kamaluhu. That Allah engaging in this activity of sending durood on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a sign of the kamal and the perfection of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Kareem, inna Allahu wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. That Allah and the malaika send the salutation and the special and choicest mercy upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Hazrat Hakim Sahib explains that what a partnership. On one side, the partner, so to say, is Allah. The other is the Malaika. And now they are offering you partnership. A lucrative business that has been in business for years and centuries and centuries. There is no question of loss. Such a prolific, lucrative business, Allah Ta'ala is inviting you to you become the third partner in this business. In things like this, we normally wouldn't even make mashura with a wife. So inshallah, with durood also, you don't have to make mashura with anybody. The partnership, join the partnership, Allah is extending. Hazrat Hakim Sahib explained this, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, is Allah's extension towards you of joining this partnership. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. You also send durood upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it's amazing. The one point is that Allah is asking us to send durood in this Quranic ayat. And the durood that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us is Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Oh Allah, you send your special mercies on Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah is asking us, but on the other hand, we are asking Allah, you send. So ulama have written, one is that simple the reason Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us to send durood like this. In Qawlul Badi, Allama Sakhawi rahmatullah alayhi quotes the author of Faida'i Muhimma, that the reason is that our tongue is full of faults. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam free of faults. What my tongue and the rank of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's not even befitting for me to send durood. So I'm beseeching of Allah that on my behalf send special mercies on Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This will create tremendous humility within you. That I haven't even got the tongue. Like Hazrat explained, that many times we write a book. For example, on the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ulama ikram, etc. And now, they make intention, inshallah, that they want to go to Madinah al-Munawwara to place and to go to the Mubarak grave of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to place their book. Hazrat says, truly, the thought should be, where the maqam of Nabi and my book? Where the maqam of Nabi, where what is one is our thought to put it forward to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And one is that there is no words, there is no writing, there is no sentiments that I can express that is worthy of the maqam of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In our book writing, etc., irrespective of how prolific that book is, what mawad and subject matter there is, we should make istighfar and tawbah instead. And this is how this is taught, that we can't send durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore we are asking and beseeching of Allah, out of your kindness and your compassion, on our behalf, send your special and choicest mercy on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Then the other reason ulama have given, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam maqam is not stagnant. Every second his maqam is increasing. So only Allah truly knows what is the real maqam of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you're telling Allah in other words, oh Allah, according to your knowledge, at this moment of the maqam of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, send durood upon him. So therefore you beseech from Allah, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Mawlana Abdul Ghani Puri rahmatullah alayhi used to say, look at the formation of the durood. What a beautiful durood. Allahumma, oh Allah. There's Allah on one side, so to say. Then Muhammad on the other side. The activity is yours of in between. So when you are sending durood, now Salli Allah is your responsibility of sending durood to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you're beseeching of Allah to send durood on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So to say, when you are sending durood, you are placing yourself between two kareem dhat. One side is Allah, one side is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As it says, when making durood to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, contemplate this, that you are putting yourself, so to say, in between Allah and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Oh Allah, send your choices, blessings and mercy upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And ulama have written that this durood is a powerful ibadat. And long before mankind also this durood was utilized. One is that Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala riwayat, that kanus, we are referring to the malaika's sujood to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. He explains kanus sujood yawm al-jum'ah. The sajda to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, was a day of Friday. Min waqti zawal ila al-asr. From the time of zawal to al-asr. The sajda was so long from zawal to asr to honor men. And there's another point. That in honoring the malaika, in honoring the other anbiya alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for example, Allah used the malaika, etc. In honoring Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah ta'ala brought the Nabi directly to him. And nevertheless, so the sajda was so long. ثم خلق الله تعالى له حواء. Then Allah Ta'ala created for Adam عليه الصلاة والسلام in Jannat Hawa. زوجته من دلائن من أدلائه اليسرى. From his left rib. So because he was alone, and we also know that no matter what beautiful scene there is or what enjoyment there is, you need to share this enjoyment with somebody else. So as Adam alayhi salam was alone, he needed to share this enjoyment of Jannat with somebody. And so Allah Ta'ala created Adam, Hawa alayhi salam. Wahuwa na'imun. And when Allah Ta'ala created Hazrat Hawa, Hazrat Adam was sleeping at that particular time. Wasumiyat Hawa li'annaha khulikat min hay. She was called Hawa because she was created from a living being. The word Hawa comes from hay. He was alive. Allah Ta'ala created her from a living being. فَلَمَّا إِسْتَيْكَدَ وَرَآهَا سَكَنَ إِلَيْهَا. When he woke up, imagine, now you wake up from your sleep. You never seen a woman in your life. Never had an experience. And when he woke up and he seen Hawa, subhanAllah. Immediate inclination was to move in her direction. So probably that's why men carry on moving in woman's direction. Because Baba Adam did that. So as his children, we also do the same. وَسَكَنَ إِلَيْهَا. He started moving in his direction. فَقَالَتِ الْمَلَائِكَ مَحْيَا آدَمْ. Malaika seen this, said, wait Adam, too quick, slow. Take a deep breath. So immediately Adam alayhi salam objected. وَلِمَا تَدْ خَلَقَ اللَّهُ لِي. Why should I refrain and stay away when Allah Ta'ala has created her for me? فَقَالُوا حَتَّى تُعَدِّي مَهْرَهَا. Tell you don't give her mahar. So even from there, enjoyment is first with mahar. Patal, yesta. You have to pay first. Hatta tu'addiya mahra. You have to pay her mahar. Qala wa ma mahra. Now what mahar can you give? He asked the malaika, what mahar? Qalu, they replied, to salli ala Muhammad thalath marrat. Send three durood to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even the najat of Adam alayhi salam and the kubuliyat of his dua was because of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Remember that. And that is a riwayat that Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu has made mention. That, lamma iktarafa Adam al-khati'a, after Adam alayhi salatu salam, so to say, committed the wrong, or the misunderstanding. Qala ya Rabbi as'aluka, eventually he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as'aluka bi haqqi Muhammad. Did I ask you in the right of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So Allah ta'ala asked him, O Adam, how do you know about Muhammad? How do you know about Muhammad? So he mentioned, after you created me, I looked on your throne. I looked on your throne and I seen Muhammad's name next to your name. So I realized this must be the most beloved. And the way Allah, the formation of the kalima is so beautiful. La ilaha illallah. After the word Allah, Muhammad comes. Allah did not put any word in between. That there is no space, so to say. When you get Muhammad, you will get Allah. La ilaha illallah, immediately after that the word Muhammad comes. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he said, immediately I understood. When I lifted my head, فَرَفَعْتُ رَاسِي فَرَأَيْتُ عَلَى قَوَامِ الْأَرْشِ مَكْتُوبًا. I lifted my head and I seen written on the arch, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. فَعَلِمْتُ أَنَّكَ لَمْ تُضِفْ إِلَى إِسْمِكْ إِلَّا أَحَبَّ الْخَلْقِ إِلَيْكَ. I immediately realized you would not mention anybody's name next to your name but the one that is most beloved to you. Then Nabi Allah Ta'ala told Adam, Sadaqta ya Adam. You have spoken the truth, O Adam. And then, and there's another riwayat, which Allama Ibn Jawzi Rahmatullah Alayhi has mentioned. أَنَّهُ لَمَّا رَوَمَ الْقُرْبْ مِنْهَا When Adam A.S. intended to go close to Ma Hawa. The first riwayat mentions that the Malaika said, Mahya Adam, stop. The other riwayat says, Talabat minhu al-mahar. Ma Hawa asked for mahar. That is your first, and mahar is not the first and last payment. That's so to say the deposit, the installment, the first payment. After that, then you just hand the checkbook over. So that's why women, mashallah, they also follow their mother, like we follow our father in inclining ourselves to a woman. They follow their mother, therefore they also ask. So no problem. Talabat minha al-mahar. She asked for mahar. فَقَالَ يَا رَبِّي وَمَاذَا أُوْتِيهَا Oh Allah, what can I give her? فَقَالَ يَا آدَمْ صَلِّ عَلَىٰ حَبِيبِي مُحَمَّدْ بِنْ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ إِشْرِينَ مَرَّةً This riwayat comes in Al-Mawahi for the ulama to check. That, Oh Adam, send upon my beloved Allah, said Habibi, my beloved Muhammad bin Abdullah, 20 times durood. And remember, Nabi, this all these riwayat are in Mawahib of Allama Qasalani Rahmatullah Ali. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, Inni indallah al-khatumun nabiyin. I was already the seal of prophets by Allah, in the sight of Allah, by Allah. Wa inna Adam lamunjalidun fitinatihi. When Adam was still in the cloth state, I was already khatumun nabiyin in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rawahu Ahmad. The another riwayat of Maysar Adabi called Kultu ya Rasulullah, mata kunta nabiyan. I asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when were you made a nabi? When were you made a nabi? Qala wa Adam bayn ar-ruhi wal jasad. This riwayat with these words, even Hakim has mentioned, it is totally sahih. Sahahu al-Hakim, that when Adam was still between the state of being a soul and a body, I was already in the sight of Allah, a nabi. So the nabuwat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was before even Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Nevertheless, the durood upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it's a beautiful ibadat, beautiful ibadat. And look at the beauty of our culmination of our salat, so to say, terminates with durood. And there is great wisdom in this. Obviously, one will learn that there isn't durood in the standing position. So the salami that people recite standing up, that is not even what is the requirement of salah. Salat says that if you want to send durood on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a sitting position. Otherwise the durood would have been in the from the beginning of salat right till the last sitting position, there is no durood. Allama Shami rahmatullah alayhi, this is regarding mutlak durood. From this we can understand the durood at the end of salat also. Allama Shami ibn Abidin rahmatullah alayhi has written, inna taqdeem as-salat ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ad-dua, that preceding durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on dua, aqrabu ila al-ijabah, is more quicker in acceptance. Lima ba'daha min ad-dua, in terms of the dua that comes after. فَإِنَّ الْكَرِيمُ لَا يَسْتَجِيبُ بَعْدَ الدُّعَى وَيَرُدُّ بَعْدَهَا Because the Kareem, that like Allah, will not accept some parts of your dua and reject the other. Therefore, ulama has mentioned, when you make dua, then start it with durood and end it with durood. Because Allah's Kareem, that will always accept durood. And is not, it's far-fetched. Then Allah Ta'ala will accept the either sides and leave the in-between not answered. Because the barakat of durood, will your dua be accepted. Therefore ulama have mentioned from the etiquettes of durood, that you make thana to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first and foremost, then send durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then make dua, then read durood, and then thana and end your praises on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, with the barakat of dua, with durood on either side, your dua will be accepted. And this also, Hazrat Hakim Sahib mentions, that Shaykh Abu Ishaq Shadbi, Rahmatullah Alayhi, used to say, As-salat ala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mujabatun ala al-qat'i. That durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is always accepted. There is no question, I will explain this later on. Other ibadat, there is a possibility of acceptance and non-acceptance. Salat, for example, we read this in the khutbah of our every day before starting Anwarul Salat, that قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ Those believers are successful, we have concentration in the salah. But at the same time, we read the other ayat of the Quran al-Kareem, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ Woe and destruction for people that perform salah. Every ibadat has got these two things. Either it is accepted or mardood or rejected. Durood is the only ibadat that there is no question of rejection. In fact, Hazrat Mawlana Abdul Hamid Sahib, Hazrat Hakim Sahib mentions that durood, even if it is done for riya and show, it is accepted in the sight of Allah. It's such a beautiful dua. And so this, the delil for this, Abu Ishaq Shabi says, As-salatu ala Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mujabatun ala al-qat'i, is always accepted. Wa idha iqtarana biha as-su'al, shaffa'at bifadlillahi ta'ala fihi, faqubila. When dua is joined to durood, with the barakat of dua, your durood will be accepted. Because Allah will always accept durood under every circumstances. If you join a dua to durood, because the barakat of durood, your dua will be accepted. In fact, Shaykh Abu Sulaiman Darani, rahmatullahi alayhi, has mentioned, this all is from Hazrat Hakim Sahib's kitab. In arada ay yas'al Allah hajatahu fal yukthir bis salat ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If a person intends to make dua to Allah of his need, then he should send plenty of durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Thumma yas'al Allah hajatahu. Thumma yas'al Allah hajatahu. Then he should ask Allah of his need. Wal yukhtim bis salati. And he should end with durood ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Fa inna Allah yaqbalu salatayn wa huwa akram min ayyada ma baynahuma. But Allah ta'ala accepts the both durood. That means at the beginning and the end. And it's far beyond Allah. It's far fetched. It's not even thinkable that Allah will accept the either side the durood and will not accept the dua in between. And then Sheikh Abu Sulaiman Darani rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned a very important point which I just mentioned now. Kullu al-amal fiha al-maqbool wal-mardood. Every amal, there are two aspects to it. Either it is accepted in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or rejected in the sight of Allah. Illa salat ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Besides durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fa innaha maqboolatun ghayru mardoodatin. It is always accepted, never rejected. The dua, durood upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As Abdullah ibn Abbas رضي الله تعالى عنه روايت إذا دعوت الله عز وجل, if you make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فاجعل في دعائك الصلاة على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, then reserve some portion of your dua for the durood upon the Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم, فإن الصلاة عليه مقبولة, because durood upon him is accepted, والله سبحانه وتعالى أكرم من أن يقبل بعضا ويرد بعضا, because it is far beyond and it is far fetched, it is not even perceivable that such a kareem that will accept some of the dua and reject other part of the dua. And the most famous dua, the durood, the sahaba used to read sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that short dua. So if a person for some reason he's tired etc, then just read sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it's one wazifa, so to say, there's not even heavy on the mind. There's not even bring about heat in a person. If a person is not falling asleep, read durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this will help you greatly. إن أول الناس بي يوم القيامة أكثرهم علي صلاة أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام, that the person most closest to me on the day of Qiyamah is the one that sends the most durood upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ulama have explained awla nas, what do you mean the person that is most closest, meaning shafa'atan, the one that is most deserving of my intercession on the day of Qiyamah is the one that sent the most durood. The other one is taqarruban, in terms of proximity, that person will be closest to me in terms of proximity, will be the one that sends the most durood. The other explanation given, muhabbatan, who will love me the most of my ummah, is the one that sends the most durood. This is a barometer for each one of us to check. MashaAllah, we've been sitting for itikaf, and how much time have you spent in sending durood upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? That's so, mashallah, we engage in dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after fajr, after isha salat, but at the same time to take out time to send durood upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we explain with the barakat of durood, all your remaining ibadat will also be accepted. So with this intention also, muhabbatan. So, in terms of the person most deserving, well, the one that sends the most durood. The one that is the closest to Allah, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the one that sends the most durood. The one whose love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the most, is the one that sends the most durood. Akhtaruhum alayhi salatan, who sends the most durood. Even in akhtar, one is yawm al-qiyamah, on the day of qiyamah. On the day of qiyamah, ulama have written every maqam of qiyamah, every marhala of qiyamah, every station of qiyamah, durood will help. First and foremost, it will be a means of light on the pul sirat. It will weigh heavy on the scales on the day of qiyamah. A person will be saved from the consternations and the fear of the day of qiyamah. A person, because of the barakat of dua, will get maqam and position under the arch of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, recite abundance of durood, because the first, one of the first questions to be posed in the grave will be regarding me. So the durood will help you. And then just to terminate, what does this aktaruhum mean? Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned that at least 300 times a day durood. 300 times. So if you are not making, then at least start with 10 a day. As it says, start with 10 a day and then increase slowly, slowly till you come to the point of reading 300. And even this 10 durud is not khali or is not absolved or free from benefits. In Tabrani there is a riwayat which has come in Fazail durud also, that if a person that read 10 times durud a day, Allah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that means, and written the morning and evening, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will intercede on this person's behalf. So at least start with 10 times, then increase it eventually to 300 times. Allah ta'ala give us all tawfiq. Subhanallah.
Thank you.